We'd like to take a moment to thank you for listening to the Block Church podcast. We pray that these messages encourage you, inspire you, or make a difference in your life.
Let's take a moment. Let's welcome all of our locations. Port Richmond live with us right now. Come on, a big welcome. Happy Sunday. My name is Joey. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor here at the Block Church. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Excited to continue our teaching series today, Health Class. We're focusing on our health in 2020. Amen. Amen. Anybody get healthier this week? Anybody get healthier this week? All right. Yeah. Good decisions. And that's our goal. Last week, we talked about a healthy church and what that looks like. Today, I want to talk about a healthy mind, a healthy mind. And next week, we'll talk about a healthy soul. So you don't want to miss that. What does a healthy soul look like? But this week, talking about a healthy mind. And I was thinking about because it is my birthday, and I'm thinking about all the things that I want to eat. Anybody have any favorite foods? I mean, just yell at me, even if you're in Port Richmond, just talk about it. And I heard somebody, I thought I heard somebody just say veggies, and that is impressive, but maybe I heard that wrong. But you know, whenever you have an opportunity to go to a restaurant, you have choices to make. Would you agree with that? Yeah. You know, you're looking at the menu and you see French fries or as a side, or you see, you know, veggies or fruit, you know, and it's just like, I'm paying for this. I want to eat what I want to eat. You know what I mean? And like in the moment, like choosing maybe not well, it feels good in the moment, but then there's repercussions after. You know what I'm saying? And I know I'm not talking about a healthy body. That's the last week of the series. But I'm just thinking, like, I'm at a restaurant. I can choose a burger or I can get the fish. I could choose the veggies or the fries, right? I could choose the extra carbs, the dessert, or I could drink the decaf coffee instead with no cream and sugar. Amen. Oh, my Puerto Rican people just cursed at me. Like, we drink coffee and it has to look almost white. That's how much cream and sugar. But I'm just saying, like, you know, when we're talking about our body, we've got choices to make, right? And again, we'll talk about a little bit, but I would like to submit to you that with our mind, we also have choices to make. You can make choices for a healthy mind. Now, we did not choose the body we're in. We did not choose the mind we have. We did not choose the world that we live in, right? Or the time period that we live in. We didn't choose these things. It is what it is. We didn't choose our parents. Some of us got really blessed. Some of us come from a lot of brokenness. We didn't choose this. However, we can make decisions based on our circumstances, and we can make decisions that affect our outcomes. And with the mind, we can also make healthy decisions. We can also make healthy decisions that affect our mental health. Now, I want to preach today the four choices of a healthy mind. The four choices for a healthy mind. And I want to be clear about something. I'm not going to cover all of the best practices for mental health today. I'm not going to fix all the depression and all the anxiety. I don't fix it anyway. That's the Holy Spirit in process with your doctor or people in your life. However, and understand that there's a lot to say about mental health. There is, and we can't cover it all in one sermon. If you want more, there's resources online. I preached a message about anxiety in our series, Enough is a Feast. You can go back and look at it. But I do want to cover some areas of it today and some choices you can make for a healthy mind. So that's the title today, Four Choices for a Healthy Mind. And as we dive into that, just some quick stats you got to know. 18 to 25-year-olds have the highest prevalence of depressive episodes among U.S. adults, okay? I thought it was interesting that I thought this was interesting that, like, the older we get, the more pressure, or maybe when we get to the middle of our life, the more pressure to save for retirement or to raise our kids or to pay mortgages. I thought maybe it would be a little bit of a higher age, but 18 to 25, maybe as you step into adulthood and you're what they say adulting, that becomes more of a shock and a smack in the face. Because some of us have been given participation trophies our whole lives. And then all of a sudden we find out that the world doesn't work like that. And so nobody's going to pat you on the butt and hand you a trophy for, I don't know, coloring in the lines. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. It is what it is, okay? And so it's possible that some of the depressive episodes, not all, because there is circumstantial anxiety, there is circumstantial depression, but there's also chemical. So some of that stuff doesn't always happen based on circumstances. But I think a lot of our episodes might have to do with the reality of this is the world we live in. Okay, 1.9 million children ages 3 to 17 suffer from depression. Wow, that's a lot. 16.2 million adults suffer from depression. 16.2 million. Every 40 seconds, there's a suicide. So multiple times in my sermon, somebody takes their life. We do not want that in our church. We're going to fight against that. So we got to talk about these things. Causes of depression. I mean, it could be a lot of things. Repressed anger, unforgiveness, negative thinking, wrong thinking, insufficient rest, physical issues, chemical imbalances, grief, self-pity, unrealistic expectations, bad reactions to drug use, right? Right? Anxiety, stress, and fear, it respects no one. Pastors, business leaders, single moms, more. So all of us are under the scrutiny and the attack of the world system. And I believe that there's a lot of things at play, but I also believe that the enemy can attack us, right? And can put some strongholds on us. I'm telling you what, every Sunday morning when I get out of bed, I feel the devil. And when I get here and when I get on stage, everything's fine. But leading up to it, oh Lord, I'm in a fight. And so we've got to learn how to fight these fights. I'm still learning, but one of my mental health goals in 2020 is to be successful before I get on the stage, not just successful when I get on the stage, right? To win the battle. I mean, most days I'm good, but Sunday mornings I wake up and I'm just like, oh, the devil, he showed up today. You understand it? So the enemy attacks. And it affects our mental health. We gotta learn how to make choices for a healthy mind. Now, I want to go to a passage, and I'm going to preach from the NLT, but I want to read the Message version because I just think it's really laid out well. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10, it says, the world is unprincipled. Now, I want to say something about the world for a moment, because if you're not a Christ follower, we're not sitting here bashing you. Okay, I want you to understand that the concepts, the culture, the antichrist ideas that exist within the world. As Christians, we say that we're not of the world, but we are in it, and we're here to love it. But we understand that there's a distinction between the way, the Christ way, and maybe culture's way of a lack of morality and understanding that Christ is our identity and our hope. Does everybody understand that? So the world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. We never have and never will. Next slide. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing the entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. Is that amazing? I love the language there. And really, Paul reiterates this in Romans 7, 19 and 24. He's having a mental health battle. And if you look at the scriptures, man, we don't look at this enough. If you look at David or Paul, they lament. They struggle. They confess. They're real. I mean, David one minute hates everybody and loves God in the same sentence. Okay, I mean, so it's obvious you see this. Paul in Romans 7, 19 and 24, he says, I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Anybody feel that way? Wretched man that I am. And so you understand that even the greatest individuals of faith have mental battles. So what are the choices we need to make? How do we need to make them? And here's where we start. The fact is, the reason we have so many ineffective Christians today is we do not know how to fight the battle of the mind. So we've got to learn how to do it. So here's how we do it. Here's number one, okay? I want to go verse 3. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. Okay? We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. So here's number one. A healthy mind doesn't believe everything it thinks and feels. Write that down. A healthy mind doesn't believe everything it thinks and everything it feels. That statement in and of itself is absolutely anti-culture. Because in our culture, if you feel it, then it's your truth. But that's just not the truth. So right away, a healthy mind, an emotionally aware person, a healthy mind doesn't believe everything it thinks and feels. And just because you get a thought or a feeling doesn't mean it's correct. Feelings are not facts all the time. This is the reason we have so many fallen Christians and leaders, because all sin begins with a lie. And the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. It's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And don't you think that Satan isn't talking and lying and sending you subliminal messages all throughout the day? You need to be aware. How do we know our minds or feelings could be wrong? How do we know? When are we in a season when our mind and our feelings could be wrong? It could be wrong when we're troubled or when we're angry, when we're afraid, confused, disoriented. We could be in sin and feeling a certain way, but that feeling not be correct. We could be hurt or grieving, so you gotta manage your mental health when you're hurting and when you're grieving. When you are bitter or you lack forgiveness, you are in a dangerous place to head down a trail of emotional instability. When you are lusting and when you are seeking something to fulfill your body outside of God's order, you're not thinking appropriately. Romance, it's not all bad, but sometimes when that love bug hits you, you start to feel things that just aren't helpful, right? I mean, you're willing to do things and sacrifice things and sell things and go places that maybe God's not led you because you're in love. Love and romance is not all bad, but sometimes it affects our reality. When we're disappointed, when we have unrealistic expectations, and when our pride is high, when we sense that we're greater than others, when we have a nose-up attitude, it's possible that our feelings and what the facts are may not actually align. The optic nerve, listen to this, which is the only nerve that goes directly to your brain, actually sends more impulses from your brain forward than from your eye backward. Okay, so listen, which means your brain is telling you what you see. Think about this. You are already preconditioned to see what you want to, what you've told yourself, what others told you, or what you experienced. So the optic nerve actually sees with the brain out rather than with the eyes in. Wow. Okay, so that's why we have to renew the mind, you understand? And so one of the big reasons why we shouldn't believe everything we think is that we see what we want to see. And in our own depravity, we have an amazing ability to lie to ourselves, which is why the mind must be renewed daily. Daily. so that we can guard against, okay, I feel this way, and we've got to make sure that our feelings, which are real and valid, if you're hurting, somebody died, you're grieving, all those feelings are real. Somebody broke up with you, those feelings are real. You're excited, you're in love, feelings are real, and some of those feelings are good, and you need to lean into them. But just because they're there doesn't necessarily mean they are true, okay? So we gotta feel we're humans, but we've gotta also renew the mind. Romans 12, 2, the scriptures say, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It starts with the mind. It starts with not always believing everything we feel. When we're feeling something, we need to go on a journey of processing. And we need to involve God in our process. So how do we renew the mind? Well, here's how we do it. Unless we have biblical insight and outlook, our thoughts will be guided by feelings over faith. Our goal has to be faith over feelings. Faith first, feeling second. When I'm feeling something, am I applying faith? Am I being still? Am I processing my thoughts? Am I involving anyone else in the process? Am I in the Word? Am I reading the Scriptures? Am I memorizing the Scriptures? Am I saying to myself over and over and over again the truths of God rather than the truths that I feel, which may not be truths at all? We've got choices to make. We could eat hot dogs and we can eat burgers for the mind, if you understand what I'm saying. We can eat the feel-good things, or we can take a step back and say, this might feel good in the moment to lash out. It might feel good in the moment to make this decision. It might feel good in the moment to make this statement. It might feel good in the moment to lean into what I'm feeling. But if I step back and if I choose the right thing, then I'm going to feel better after, and so will everybody else. So choices for a healthy mind. Number one, we've got to remember and we've got to understand that I can't believe everything I think and feel. Feelings are good. They're valid. But I've also got to apply God's word to my feelings and apply other people in my block group or on my team and in my life to my feelings. Okay, so here's the next part of a healthy mind. If we go to verse 4, the scriptures say we use mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Arguments from the enemy. Arguments from people that the enemy might be using, even though those people even might be people of God, that are lying to you. So what do? Number two, we have to defend what goes in the mind. This is probably the most important one. We got to defend what goes in. We got to guard the gates. The Apostle Paul says here that it's our job in this battle to destroy strongholds. Stay with me. I'm teaching you today to destroy strongholds. You know what is a stronghold? It's a mental block. It's a mental block. Paul is talking about pretensions, arguments set up against the knowledge of God. This is a mental battle. And he says, destroy those strongholds. Take an axe to it. And a stronghold can be one of two things, okay? See, there's a difference between demon possession and then an attack or a stronghold in your life. Like your cat is possessed, I promise. Okay, if you have a cat, you have a demon in your house. Okay. But you are likely not possessed by a demon. You're not under the submission of the enemy, but it's possible that it's possible that you might have a stronghold in your life. Whether that might be passed down from one generation to the next, it might be a habit that you formed. It could be something that you saw that made its way into your life. It could have been a connection, a transfer of somebody's experience onto yours by opening up doors to the enemy, decisions that maybe are outside God's character or his will or what the scriptures lay out. And then we wonder why you have these strongholds. It's possible that it's not chemical. It could be a decision you made that's a stronghold. So I don't want to blame everything on that I need medicine, and we'll get to that in a moment, but what are these strongholds? The strongholds can be a worldview. It can be materialism and hedonism and Darwinism and secularism and relativism and communism and atheism and all of these different isms. Okay, they're worldviews. And they can be mental strongholds that people set up against the knowledge of God. A stronghold can also be a personal attitude, a disposition, pride. Worry can be a stronghold, seeking the approval of others, obsessed with it because maybe we didn't receive it as a child. Anything that you make an idol in your life can be a stronghold. Fear, guilt, insecurity, all these things can be strongholds in your mind, and the Bible says that we can tear them down. So what we've done a lot of times and what we do is we build an altar. And instead of sacrificing ourselves on the altar, making our bodies and our life a living sacrifice, what we do is we worship these idols that we don't say are idols, but they end up becoming idols. I worship likes on Instagram, or I worship approval, or I worship the idea of feeling secure or loved or in a relationship, or I worship money, all these things. And what we've done is we've built an altar to those things. And when Paul says destroy these things, I mean, we need to take an axe to it and say, this is not of God. And a lot of times the way that that happens is it's the people in our life that help us. It's the counseling. It's the relationships. It's prayer. It's submitting ourselves to God's word. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to activate and make us aware of those things. So it's possible there could be some strongholds, some things that are holding us, pulling. We got to break them down. I think one of the biggest challenges we face in our culture, and listen to this, that 2 hours and 22 minutes are spent on social media a day by most of us. The average American consumes 5 times more information a day than their counterpart did 50 years ago. Okay, that's a lot of information for us to process. We spend about 12 hours a day in front of screens. That would be TVs, phones, computers. And individuals who watch 3 minutes, just 3 minutes of negative news in the morning, at a whopping 27% greater likelihood of reporting a bad day. 6 to 8 hours later, compared to the condition if they didn't, basically, when they asked. I mean, that's a lot. It's a lot of information. It's a lot of bad news. I mean, when you wake up in the morning, and the first thing you look at is social media, or the first, okay, I'm looking, and then all of a sudden I'm comparing. Or I look at the news app, and I see everybody's blowing up, and the world's ending. Like, that affects your day, does it not? So how do we combat that? Here's what you need to know. You got to understand that what you hear and what you see, the gates, and what you read are permeating into your bloodstream and your soul, right? Because you understand what we're getting at. We're processing this information, and it's how we see the world. Some of us are married and obsessed with our identities and really how we see the world based on that, because we're only reading one thing. We're only seeing one thing. We're only seeing one point of view. So what do we do when we're watching something? When we're on Netflix or when we're near our computer? Holy Spirit, are you uncomfortable with this? It's a good question to ask. If you're watching the Eagles, you don't have to ask that question, okay? It might affect your mental health. It has mine, but... Right, but there are certain things, right? I mean, if you're watching like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, you're probably safe, you know? You're watching the Cowboys or something, you got to ask the Holy Spirit where your heart is. But you're watching stuff and you're hearing so much language or cursing or vile language or you're seeing a lot of nudity or just things or such a glorification of money and wealth and things and drugs, and you got to ask, Holy Spirit, are you comfortable with this? Is this affecting me? Are you uncomfortable as I'm in my car or as I'm in my commute and all I'm listening to is stuff with language and with hate and with division, right? I mean, Holy Spirit, are you comfortable? I mean, there just comes a point where it's like enough is enough. The Holy Spirit's like, I can't listen to this no more. But it affects our mental health. Holy Spirit, are you uncomfortable with me being here in this situation? Some of you take your shoes and you take your dancing feet, whatever, right? And you go to some places that like the Holy Spirit just might not be comfortable with. Or maybe you stay for a certain amount of time. And the Holy Spirit's like, we got to go. It's getting too late. Nothing good happens after 11:30. Come on, single people. You know that's right. I mean, come on. Right? I mean, just go, Holy Spirit. That's the question we're asking. Holy Spirit, is this good for my mental health? Are you comfortable with this? Is this affecting my insides? Is this affecting how I see the world? Matthew 6, 22 through 24 says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. That's the enemy, by the way. That is the manipulation of the enemy, that things that we shouldn't do or things that are wrong, he actually ends up manipulating it and making us think that it's things that are right. And so when we hear this, what Jesus speaks of is eyes and light. He means that all people should keep our eyes on the prize, on God, on what he's called us to, on the height of our calling. And here's some quick tips that I recommend to guard what goes in. Here's some tips. Okay, read the news first thing in the morning. And when I say the news, I mean the good news. Okay, it's so cheesy. I'm sorry, couldn't help myself. But man, instead of opening up social media, open up your Bible app. Even if it's just the verse of the day, you can get a lot out of the verse of the day. I was talking to somebody on Friday, and we were talking, and the verse was like, how great is the Lord? You know, and that was like the verse. And he's like, man, what do I even get out of that? And I was like, well, what you can get out of it is it's not about you. How great is the Lord? It's not about you today. That's what you get out of it. You know, it's like just start your day with that good news. Regularly take breaks from social media. And if you struggle with this, don't count the likes. Okay, I think it's important to understand if you're putting out content and that's what you do and you're an influencer or whatever, like, yeah, you got to be aware of the views and so forth. But like for most of us and for the rest of us and even those who are using that and influencing, sometimes we got to put out the content for the good of the content, not for everybody else's approval. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? So like, we got to take breaks from social media. It just messes with us. It is what it is. Leave your phone in the other room when you're with people who matter. Stay present. I think it's okay, especially when I'm with my son and when I'm with my wife, it's so much easier to leave the phone in the other room because, like, honestly, nobody else who's calling matters that much. Like I'm not going to get a call that my son broke his arm. Like, he's right here with us. So I don't have to worry about having my phone on me. There's nobody else more important than those two people. So you understand what I'm saying. But practice putting that phone away. Memorize scripture, even if it's short. Go outside and take a walk when you're watching too much media. Just take a break. You know, I used to be upset about this, but I'm finding that it's one of the most biggest blessings in disguise is every so often I got to get up from watching TV and I got to go take my dog for a walk. And it just clears the mind. Listen to more worship music, Christian podcasts, sermons. Keep it going. I mean, you could play video games, and instead of listening to the noise on the video games, listen to a podcast and get something done while you're relaxing. Or while you're doing the laundry. Right, there's just simple ways. Consuming too much bad news and overwhelmed, pray. At the end of the day, give it to God. Too much stuff, you're worried, that is an opportunity for you to worship. If you're worried, turn it into worship. I'm watching too much. I'm overwhelmed. I feel unsafe. What are you going to do about it? Really, at the end of the day, in those moments, all you can do is turn it into prayer and to worship. Put guardrails on your phone and computer to avoid the trap of pornography. Let me tell you, pornography is damaging and it will kill your soul. Guard yourself from it. Get people in your life who could help you. Because what goes into the eye, it affects the whole body. Yeah. Guard the gates. All right, so we've got to understand that in this process, we have to understand in this process, okay, of having a healthy mind, we've got to choose to understand that not everything I feel and think is true. I have to guard what goes in. I got to defend it. And then number 3, verse 5, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We destroy every proud. Somebody say proud.
Proud.
We destroy every proud. So what does that mean? Okay, number 3, we've got to eliminate the stigma of mental illness. Because a lot of times, a lot of us don't get help because of our pride. And let me make this statement. Pride has stolen more from humanity than any sickness, politician, war, or thief. It's stolen more from your life and from your marriage and from your children and from your future than any war, anybody, any thief. Pride steals. It is. It does. The question is, do you have a history of mental illness in your life? Does anyone in your family deal with it? You got to know yourself. You got to know your family and your origin. You got to know your spouse, and you got to know your friends who you're in community with. It's important to ask this kind of questions. And if you need help, you got to get help. Others might encourage you. Do not wait. If you, listen to me, if you're having suicidal thoughts, if that is part of your life or self-harm, you have got to communicate and get an army around you. You got to tell everybody. Please don't tell everybody. Please don't be annoying. And please don't tell somebody the first time you meet them. I'm just helping you make friends, okay? But like, build some relationships and get some people in your life who will ask you randomly and regularly. If you need medicine for a season, talk to a doctor. There's no shame. Or if someone's encouraging that, talk to somebody. You might need counseling for a season. In fact, I think all of us need counseling. Amen. But you might need it for a season. We help people all the time with counseling, even if it's for their first visit. You might need to read a book for a season. And always, I think getting our head in a book might be a little bit better than our head in our phone. There are great books about stuff like this. Accountability for a season, groups, friends, convo. You might need to slow down for a season. You might just be doing too much. You might be trying to start 46 different businesses. Well, no wonder you're nuts. It's too much. Are you taking a Sabbath? Are you resting one day a week? You got to get involved in something that matters. Some of us have stopped doing our step work and we need to do it again. We got to get in the community. We got to get in a group. Serving is a great way. Moving your body is a great way to affect your mind. Let's end the stigma of mental illness. We have to. What do we do? How do we have a healthy mind? We got to make good choices. We got to choose and understand that all of our thoughts and all of our feelings may not be right. We got to guard what goes in, and we got to end the stigma of mental illness. It is what it is. It's part of us. Some of us have other sicknesses. If you have a broken arm, are you going to just let it be broken? Some of us, our mind, essentially, it's broken and it needs attention. It needs repair. Stop walking around with a proverbial broken arm. Immerse yourself. And don't be one of those people. Look at me and listen to me. Don't be one of those people who goes to somebody and goes to people and asks for help. And then they give you just glorious advice. But you never do anything with it. That's called, you don't really want help. You just want attention. We cannot be seeking attention. We need to be seeking growth. Here's the last thing. Your freedom story, by the way, I meant to say this. It could be the catalyst for someone else's freedom discovery. So the importance of you getting right in your mind, that freedom story that you're going to tell, it could be somebody else's catalyst for freedom discovery. It's a big deal. All right, last part of this. We capture there the enemies, the liars, the rebellious thoughts, and teach them to obey Christ. We got to capture it. In the healthy mind, you got to learn how to talk back to the talker. Got to talk back to the talker. Look at 1 Peter. I'm almost done. I was just stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like. He isn't, but like. He disguises like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. He's barking. He's roaring. He's obnoxious, and he's always talking to your brain. Yeah. There's talk going on. There's chatter. And what Paul says is that we've got to take every thought captive to obey Christ. Every captive thought, the Greek word, eikamalotizo. Sorry, had it this morning. All morning I was practicing. Didn't work. There means to control. This word, take captive, it means to control, to conquer, to bring into submission. In other words, you have authority over these words. You, if you call yourself a Christian, the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit on your life, you have authority to bring into submission lies of the enemy. You might feel weaker than a lion, but what comes out of that lion's mouth, or whatever comes out of that manipulative demon, whatever comes out of his mouth, you are stronger than. You are. We take captive. That means to submit every thought obedience to Christ. Make it obedient. To bring into submission, to bring under control. You actually have authority. You actually have power. Do you believe it? And there's a scripture that I've been teaching my son in 2 Timothy. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God has promised that. This is a promise. Are you standing on it? You are stronger than you think. You're more loved than you realize. And your mind is clear and can be clear in the presence of God. Now, I want to show you a clip that I've been teaching my son the power of this. And I've been teaching my son scripture, simple things. And I just want to show you and illuminate what's possible even for you. So watch Maverick for a second.
Mind.
You have a sound mind?
Yeah.
What else?
I sound mind.
You're loved and you have a sound mind?
Yeah.
What else? Can you tell Coley the rest?
What's the rest?
I am kind.
I sound mind.
I am loved. You say I am loved? And you're strong.
I'm strong. I love.
Yeah, you missed kind, but you're almost there. You're so sweetie. Okay.
Listen to me. If a 2-year-old can make that declaration, so can you. So at every location right now, we need to declare that over our life, that I am strong. Come on, I'm strong, I'm loved, and I have a sound mind. You gotta say it till you believe it. I am strong, I am loved, and I have a sound mind. Do you believe it yet? I am strong, I am loved, and I have a sound mind. How do I know I'm strong? How do I know I'm strong? Because the scriptures tell me that the same power that raised Christ from the dead, it lives in me. I'm strong. You're stronger than you think you are. There's more in you than you realize. There's more spiritual faith muscles than you realize. I am strong. I got the power of God in my life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power that transforms me and renews me, right? I'm strong, and I'm also loved. The fact that God would send his son to die for you to prove that every morning his grace is fresh, his grace is new, his mercies are new, you are loved. You are overwhelmingly loved. You are the righteousness of God. So you're not just strong, you are also loved, and you have a sound mind. When Christ died, when they put the crown of thorns on his head, it was an exchange. His mind, your mind, you have the mind of Christ. So say it like you believe it. I am strong, I am loved, and I got a sound mind. And no weapon formed against me will prosper. When I'm under attack, when the enemy's trying to steal from me, I know he's a liar. I know that he steals and kills and destroys, but God promised me life and life abundantly. I'm strong, I'm loved, and I got a sound mind. grind. And I might fall sometimes, and I might fail sometimes, but my best days are ahead. My future is bright. God loves me, and he's promised me all the things in his word. So I stand on that today, not on my feelings. Do I have a church that's strong and loved with a sound mind? One more time. I am strong, I am loved, and I have a sound mind. In Jesus' name, can we give God a praise? We love you, Lord. And if you're not already standing, would you stand to your feet? Would you bow your head and close your eyes?
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, be sure to check out our podcast channel and subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you like what you're hearing, we'd love for you to rate, review, and share with friends. We love you. Thanks again for listening.